Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can study your word once again. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will enlighten us as we take up another issue, another principle from the book of Ecclesiastes. We pray, dear Lord, that you will enlighten us, and we pray that we will have a good time of thinking through this wonderful principle. We pray, dear Lord, that you will be with those who are not with us. We pray that you will be with them, and we pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to lead us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we've been studying the book of Ecclesiastes, and Ecclesiastes is basically a book about wisdom. It's a man who we all know is considered the wisest man in the world, and he has a lot of wisdom. But wisdom isn't everything. Wisdom doesn't mean that a person will end up walking righteously with God, because Solomon, at the end of the day, towards the end of his life, he chose to not walk right with God. He actually ended up worshipping idols because of his wives, right? And so wisdom isn't everything. And so when we read the book of Ecclesiastes, we see his struggle with life, his struggle with why certain things happen the way they do. And one of them is death, one of them is work. And he calls these things vanities of vanities. All is vanity. And you can see the sense of hopelessness, a sense of despair, jadedness with life and with work, and with one particular thing that he really hates the most is death, right? He finds it very hard that all that he has done in life, finally, he has to die. And so he struggles with all these things. But then along the way, we also see him coming up with words of wisdom, gems that we all can practice in our life. And of course, some of these things, they are from God. When we look at observations of life, we can see that actually God has set in place different things of life. Laws of nature. Okay? You can't change laws of nature. Of course, God can, but there are things that God has set in motion. One of them is the laws of nature. Seasons and so on and so forth. Of course, global warming is affecting that, the whole seasonal thing. And, Singapore is getting hotter and hotter, right? Yesterday, I went out, go and buy some food. Ayo, it was so humid after the rain. Straight away, go home, switch on aircon. Wow, thank God for aircon, right? So there are things in life that God has set in motion. But there are also what we call principles of life. Principles of life that God has placed in this world and for us to practice, for us to understand and to apply. Okay? And some of these things are what we're going to try to learn today. Okay? We're going to learn two things today. And okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 11. And so we move on to Ecclesiastes 11. So two more chapters and we're done with this book. So in chapter 11, he begins by saying this interesting phrase. He says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." Cast your bread upon many waters, upon the waters. Okay, I already told you what it is already, right? It's learning to be generous. It's about giving, correct? It's about giving towards the needs of people. And so the idea of cast your bread upon the water. Bread is what? What's the symbol behind bread? Okay, what you need to eat, what you survive on, right? What is staple, okay? But also bread represents what? Represents your? What else does it represent? For us is what? When we eat, what we need to eat every day? Okay, food, but what kind of food?
Rice.
Have you come across this phrase, rice bowl? this is my rice bowl, right? So bread is what staple for the people of Israel. No such thing as bread bowl, okay? But the idea of bread is also your livelihood. Okay, breadwinner, okay, breadwinner. So it's your livelihood, right? Cast your bread, that means throw your money into the water. Okay, so once you place inside the water, bread is gone. It's useless. It's almost wasted. Can you see? So I cast my bread, and that's it. It's gone. Right? So in the same way, when you give, you know, it's gone. You give, and then that's it. But then he makes this phrase, for you will find it after many days. Well, you think of it literally, it can be quite scary. Right, you throw a loaf of bread, then a few days later, the bread floats up and then comes back to you. Right, it can be a bit scary, isn't it? But, so what does that mean? Basically it means, and yet it will come back after many days. Okay, so what's the principle? There is a principle behind it. And this is actually one of his observations of life. Now, Solomon is a person who observes life. He observes life every day. He looks at everything. He's a very wise man. He observes life. And what he's coming up across in these few last chapters, these two chapters, is his observation of life. Right? Life will work in a certain way. So what is the principle? What's the principle that he's trying to bring across? Sorry? Reciprocation. What do you mean by reciprocation? Okay, you give, you get back. What's the principle behind it? Hi, come. You ran to church. You ran to church. Yeah. Don't answer. Need to answer that. Yeah, what's the principle behind it? What's the principle? Anybody? Okay, reciprocate. Let's work with that. There's a more specific idea behind it. No need to keep or store. Okay. We need to keep and store. You know, in Singapore, I don't know about Malaysia, but in Singapore, we have huge underground tunnels. Yeah. Okay? And what do we store? We store a lot of food. We store a lot of fuel. We store a lot of things underground. Huge tunnels. Yeah, so storing is actually a good thing. Malaysia no need, Malaysia so much resources, you don't need to store like Singapore we need. So what's the principle? You're not wrong, but what's the principle? There is a principle behind it. Okay, we read further on. Okay, we think about it. Verse 2. Give a serving to 7 and also to 8. For you do not know what evil will be on the earth. Okay, so he extends the idea further about giving. Okay? Give a serving to 7 and also to 8. For we do not know what evil will be on the earth. What does that mean? Give a serving to 7 and then to 8. What do you think it means? Give a 7, and then I give number 8. Non-stop giving. Okay, you're not wrong. Non-stop giving. You're not wrong. Right? Yeah. So what does that mean, non-stop giving? Well, what does that mean? Give a serving to 7 and also to 8. Okay, let's break it down. 7 and then to 8. 7 means? Yeah, okay, it's a number. But you say a serving, right? Yeah, give a serving to 7 means? A serving to 7. Interesting, huh? What does it mean? Give a serving to 7. Try, I mean, there's no... Right? Let's try. Anybody? Laura, just try. Okay, you're right. 7 people. So 7 servings to 7 people. Then number 8? Number 8 is? Is the 8th. So it's not 8 people, it's the 8th person. You understand? So 8 person. So in other words, I already gave 7 servings, and then another fellow comes along. He's number 8. Would you still give? Would you? You really give 7 servings already. Okay, if you have. Okay. Yeah, but then, wow, you only left one. Okay, you left maybe $10 left, right? You spend already $50, $60 on 7 people. Then you only left $5. Then yourself? Will you still give the 8 person? Would you give the 8 person? Huh?
A bit hard.
A bit hard. You're right. It's very hard. But here he's trying to say, you still give. In other words, you go the extra mile. So in other words, you give generously. You go the extra mile for the person. So you can give him $3, you $2 you keep. And buy kacang putih or one small piece of bread. Okay, whatever. Right, so here he's trying to say, go the extra mile. Why? For we do not know what evil will be on the earth. Right? There's so much pain and suffering in this world today. Right? The evil here represents, for example, war. Today's newspaper, most people don't read newspaper today. But in today's newspaper, or was it yesterday, they were showing photographs, worth photographs of the year. And they were having some competition, and they showed all the photographs, photograph. And some of them were very heart-wrenching. Like, for example, in Gaza, there was a picture of all these people jumping onto the trucks, hundreds of people trying to get to the food, right? Supplies, food supplies. And then another picture is... the Hong Kong fire, there's this man, he was shouting at him at the background. You see all these condo buildings on fire, smoke coming out from it. So it's very heart-wrenching, some of the photographs. And there's so much poverty in the world today, right? So evil can bring about lots of poverty today. And you know why? Why should we go the extra mile for others? Because there's so much evil today. There's so much poverty. There's so much, hurt. And people are going through a really, really... So the world is affected today, right? By war and so on. Okay, and then the next part, it says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If a tree falls to the south or the north, and the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Why does he talk about nature all of a sudden? Right? Interesting, isn't it? If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. all of a sudden he makes observations of nature. Okay? If the rain clouds fall, you will fall. Correct? Okay, cycle. Yeah, so it's just an observation of life. Yesterday in the early morning, or maybe about 7 something, I was walking and it was raining. Right? Towards the north part, it was raining. And then I stopped for a while and walked out again. There was a very nice rainbow. Did you all see? It was beautiful. It was a nice rainbow. And I don't know. When I saw the rainbow, tears came. Tears of joy. Why? It's been a long time since I've seen a rainbow. Right? And it really reminded me of a very low period in my life when I was a pilot trainee, and it was the most lowest point in all my training. And I still remember getting up at 6:30, opening up the building for all the pilots, and it was 6:30, I was all alone, and I prayed. I prayed because I was going through a very, very rough time. And so when I finished praying, I wept before the Lord and I finished. And then when I came out, it was about 7 something, and I saw this beautiful rainbow in the sky. And that really, that really assured my heart, that it reminded me. Not that God, every time when the rainbow comes, God is speaking to you, but it was just something that reminded me of God's promises. And I was very, very encouraged by that. Right, so yesterday, that was just something that I experienced and I was thankful for. So these are observations of nature. Rain will come, it will fall. A tree falls, whether to the south or to the north, in a place where the tree falls, that it shall lie. Right, basically these are natural things. Okay, then he goes on to say, he who observes the wind will not sow, he who regards the clouds will not reap. So now he brings in another observation, right? If you are observing the wind, if you look too much at nature, you're trying to read too much into the wind, you're trying to read the clouds, sometimes when you look at these things too much, you end up finding excuses not to work. Okay? You end up finding excuses not to work. Why, it's too hot today. Right? I don't feel like going to work. It's raining today. I don't feel like going to work. So people find excuses not to work. Okay. Now, coming back to the point. What is the principle behind? What is common among all these things? What is the principle? Anybody? You're right in saying it's the reciprocity, reciprocating, but what is the point? What is the principle? There's a principle behind it. Anybody? You want to try? What is the principle of life? Brian? Yes. What is common? You want to try?
I don't know.
Okay, anybody want to try? Sarah, you want to try?
From your notes, you wrote 2 points.
Yeah.
But then it seems like those two, the first point is like for the first two verses, then the second point is for the second two. I don't see something like common throughout all
but there the is. Verses. There is. There is something common. And it's in the verses. It's in the verses. Anybody want to try? Okay, let's talk about giving. Right? When you give, what are you doing? When you cast your bread, what are you doing? When you give excuses to work, you don't work, right? What are you doing? Sorry? Yes. So the principle is reaping what you sow. Okay? So that is the point he's trying to bring across. You reap what you sow, right? When you give, you reap what you sow. Can you see that? When you don't work, you reap what you sow. If you don't reap, you don't sow, you don't reap. So the principle of life here is actually how you sow will result in how you reap. If you give generously, then you also will reap generously. Right? If you don't work, you don't sow. And if you don't sow, you don't reap. And of course, the last part is with reference to farmer. So the imagery is the idea of being a farmer. It's about working hard, right? So the farmer looks at the sky, he looks at what's there, and if he looks at the wind, the clouds, then he says, okay, today he finds an excuse, I'm not going to work. If you don't sow, you don't reap. Can you see the point? Okay. Okay, do you have any questions you want to ask? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just thinking of the general principle, but yep. Like, I also think that there will be exceptions. So like, for example, your partner, like, example of like, so there are like, unforeseen
things.
Like,
sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, as in like, other circumstances. So like, how do you, take into account these exceptions, based on.
Yeah, so of course, there's the usual sequential result of life, right? So you sow, then you will reap, correct? Generally, that's how we look. You work hard, there are some results that will come out of it. So he's making an observation.
Yeah, but also, like, just wondering, just wondering why like it's towards the end of the book already, and then this seems like quite a, not like it's a very complex kind of principle that he's trying to bring across. So yeah. Is there anything like else that he's trying to see from
the verses? Okay, I think one of the things that he's trying to bring across, okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. To me, the point of what he's trying to bring across is that so he's been talking about living one's life. So in chapter 10, he's talking about how, he who digs a pit, quarry stones will be hurt by them, an axe is dull, sharpen the sword, verse 10 from chapter 10, you must use more strength. Wisdom brings about success, right? And then how time and chance happen to people. Sometimes things can happen to you. And then chapter verse 16 about the idea of kings. If it's a child, woe is the land. Blessed is the man if the king is good. And then it talks about laziness and so on. Don't curse the king. Then he talks about the whole idea of the need for diligence, isn't it? He's talking about how we need to be diligent in life, how we need to practice faith. And one of them is that, can we learn how to give? Right? One very important question is, do you know how to give? How much do you give? You see? So the question is, do you know how to give? And as you give, do you understand what it means to give? To give to the poor, to go the extra mile for others. Do you know how to give? And sometimes people don't know how to give. You see here? He's bring across this point of how it's important to know how to give. So I don't think it's a simple thing. I think there's a lot that he's trying to say. Okay? Now, let's understand this a bit more. When you talk about sowing and reaping. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs 11. So in Proverbs 11, we read in verse 24. See, it takes faith. To me, the challenge is, do you know how to exercise faith in giving? He says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Can you see the idea of sowing and reaping? It's hard to give. It's hard to give when you don't have much. But the challenge is, do we still know how to give? Right? So here he talks about a person who scatters, he learns to give much, but you know what? He has more in the end. And here is a person who has much, but then ultimately he has nothing. Leads to poverty. You reap what you sow. He goes on that a generous soul will be made rich, but he who waters will also be watered himself. You see? The person who curses him with withholds grain, the person will curse him who withholds grain, but the blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Right? So during that time, if you have grain, you should sell it. You should let people have the opportunity to have it. Or you can keep it to yourself, but at the end of it, you are cursed. People will curse you. Can this, so I think it's not just so straightforward, learning how to give. I think it takes faith, it takes wisdom, it takes a person who has a heart of compassion to really go the extra mile for another person. Right? But of course, he's not trying to say to give everything that you have, that you don't have anything for yourself. No, I think we have to be wise about it too. Well, what does it mean to give? Right? There's a story told of William Colgate. You all know the story? Colgate, you all use Colgate, right? Yeah, do you know the story behind it? So William Colgate was a man, young fella, 16 years old. He came out to work. His father was a soap seller, maker and a seller. So he came out at 16 years old and he worked for a soap factory. And along the way, he met someone, and this person told him, you know, one of the things that you should do is that you should always honor the Lord first, right? Don't be afraid to give your tithe to the Lord, and the Lord will bless you in return. And I thought that was a very interesting thing. So for him, He started by saying, you know what, I'm going to give 10% of what I earn every month. Whether I have more or less, I will still give. 10%. So he started with that. And he followed through with that. Okay? And then along the way, he started his own soap shop. So he started with soap, not toothpaste. Okay? Started with soap. And then he started looking into, he was observing people, you know, they need to also wash their mouth, right? So they wash their body, but they don't wash their mouth. So he started, okay, experimenting and came out with this idea of toothpaste. And so he started selling toothpaste, right? And so his business began to increase. Now, as his business increased, he moved from 10% to 20% to 30% to 40%, and finally he gave 50% of all that he earned. Now the Lord had blessed him so much. He started, his company became, you know, so big. He started giving towards the Baptist church. He started a university. There's a Colgate University today, right? Probably learning how to make Colgate and how to brush teeth and so on and so forth, right? Mouth hygiene and but there's this Colgate University today. And you know, he continued to give 50% of all that he earned. And I think that's amazing. So every time I use Colgate, right, I always remember him, about a person who learned how to give. And you know, as he gave, God blessed him in return. Now it takes faith. It takes faith to follow through with that. And to keep giving from 10% to 50%. Wow, that to me is a real challenge. Can you see this whole idea of sowing and reaping? Now you turn with me to another passage. And this time, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9. So in 2 Corinthians 9, I really like the example of the Macedonian church. So in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians, we read, "We make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty." Wow. Okay? Notice three things, okay? They were going through great affliction, and yet they had abundance of joy. And number three, they had deep poverty, abounded in the riches of their liberality. "For I bear witness, according to their ability, beyond their ability, yes, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Wow. Even though they were so poor, they still give. Now, to me, that is faith. That takes a lot of faith to give, right? And to me, that is something that we should emulate. They gave themselves to the Lord first, then to us by the will of God. So we urge Titus that he had begun, he would also complete this grace, and so on. Now, we move on to chapter 9. Chapter 8 and chapter 9, it's about their giving. Right, about this gift. Now, in verse 5, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand that had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation." So if you want to tithe, it's with tremendous sense of joy and out of your heart, a generous heart, not something that you have obligated to do. Okay, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, that is the principle that we see in action. Can you see? The challenge is to be able to sow and reap. And reap. Or to sow bountifully and to reap bountifully. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Right? And God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You know, to give out of one's poverty. To give, not grudgingly, looking at the money when you give, as the offering goes by, and then you feel so difficult to part with your money. Right? And I think it's so important to learn how to give from the heart. To give with joy, to give, with faith. So I don't think it's a straightforward thing, Lorraine. I think it's something where if you really understand the principle of it, it takes a maturity of faith to be able to give and to give consistently. So I think to me at this stage for Solomon, he's basically coming up with key principles of life. Right? He does make this observation in Proverbs. So perhaps this was something that he also wrote in the book of Proverbs. Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. He said, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Right? So that's also from Solomon, isn't it? Honor the Lord with your first fruits. Whatever, you know, when you get a promotion and when you get, you know, there's an increase in salary, then learn how to give. My first salary when I was a pilot trainee, I dedicated it to the Lord. I say, Lord, this is for you. Anyway, I didn't need much because I was in national service. I was a recruit. Can't spend my money. So that first pay, I say, okay, Lord, this is for you. Right? And subsequently, I still continue to give. Okay? And I think it's something for us to consider and to think. At the end of the day, it's really all about how we respond to God. How do we respond to God with a heart of love? And how we respond from that heart of love to others who are in need. Can you see? But I also want to emphasize that when you give, don't focus on the return. This is not an investment. You see, you can end up thinking this is like an investment, which some churches tend to focus, if you give 10%, God will give you 100% in return. Don't focus on that. Okay? We exercise faith as we give. Sure, God will repay us in whatever way He wants, but that should not be our focus. The focus is, I will give, I cast my bread, forget it, that's it. I don't know what my left hand has given. My right hand also, my right hand doesn't know what my left hand has given. I give and then that's it. I don't expect anything in return. That's how I give. I don't calculate, every month I give 10%. Okay, God, you must at least give me back 10% by the end of the year. Then you calculate. No, you don't. That's not how you should give. If God wants to repay you in return, great. But if it doesn't, that's fine. It doesn't matter. So I just give, right? And I give more than 10%. Can you see? Okay, any questions you want to ask about giving? Do you understand? Can you understand where he's coming from? And I think that's something for us to consider and to think through. Now, let's turn to another passage. Let's turn to Galatians now. So in Galatians 6, you see, these are passages that basically Paul is... So the principle is there, but how would you apply the principle? There are many different ways to apply the principle. And so in Galatians chapter 6, we see him applying this idea of sowing and reaping. So in chapter 6, verse 7. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Okay, so basically he's also trying to say that, you know, servants of God, we also should support them, right? The church will still support you, right? That's the point that he's trying to say here. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Now, you see, that's the point. And to me, that's a principle of life. You sow what you reap. You reap what you sow, sorry. You reap what you sow. You all didn't notice I said it wrongly. You reap what you sow. And that's a very important principle of life. Why? Because it affects almost everything with reference to your work. You reap what you sow. You don't work hard, you don't put in hard work, you are lazy, you keep looking at the weather, you look at your handphone all the time, you're not working, you reap what you sow. Right? Same thing with giving. You don't give, you reap what you sow. Because God wants to bless, but God wants also you to learn how to exercise faith by giving. Does God need all these things in life? No, He doesn't. In fact, when David, you know, gave one of his last prayers to God, or song he wrote, he said, everything's from you. I'm basically just giving back what you own. All that I have is from you. Right? What God wants us to do is to exercise faith. He wants us to learn how to exercise faith. Can you see that? He wants us to learn how to honor Him. And then He will honor us in return. And so we reap what we sow. Then he goes on, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So whatever you focus on, your time on, what you reap, if you reap to the flesh, you will reap corruption. The flesh is going to end up, the focus is on the flesh, on sin, then what happens in the end is corruption. But if you focus on the things of the Spirit, you sow, meaning you spend time, you put in the hard work, you read the scriptures, you pray, you walk with God, you learn how to reach out to people, and so on, you will reap everlasting life. Can you see? The principle of sowing and reaping is actually very crucial. It's not just a straightforward thing. It affects everything in life, including your spiritual life, including the way you live your life as a Christian. You don't put in the effort, nothing's going to come out of it. But when you put in the effort, then something will come out of it. That's what he's trying to say. So this is what we call a very important principle of life. Because God has set in motion this principle of life because we have to be responsible. See, at the end of the day, what is He trying to teach us? What is God trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us to be accountable and responsible for our life. Okay? If you are not responsible, you see, God is going to give you everything that you need. He's going to give you hope, peace, trust, salvation, assurance, He will give you all these things. He will give you the word of God. He will give you people to be there with you. All things are yours. But you have to do your part. You have to be responsible in how you respond to God. Okay, so God brings the people of Israel into the land of plenty, milk of honey, right? That's God's gift to them. But you know what? The people need to go and divide the land and to sow the land, to tend the land. They still have to be responsible. Can you see how important this principle of life is? You reap what you sow. Same thing for my life. As a pastor, I reap what I sow. Right? Years of friendship with someone. It takes years to develop friendship. So he goes on to say, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart." So that's what ministry is. So for Audrey, as you start, okay, it's not going to be a bed of roses, I tell you first. It's not going to be a straightforward thing. It's going to take years of learning, of ministering, learning again and again before you see fruit in your life. It's not going to be a straightforward thing. Okay? I tell you first. That's my first word to you. Right? I can tell you one very important thing that you will learn is perseverance. I've learned to persevere all these years, 30 years, more than 30 years of serving the Lord. One important word is perseverance. Sure, you need to trust God. All these things apply. But one thing that sometimes people don't focus on, or they don't, they try, but then they give up halfway. They don't know how to persevere. Right? In due time, it says, you will reap what you sow, for in due time you shall reap, if you do not lose heart. See, along the way, a lot of people lose heart. I serve 2-3 years after that. Okay, so discouraging. Nothing coming out of it. I can lose heart. That is so easy. And after a while, people say, okay, enough. I don't want to serve really. No, don't lose heart. Right, Paul keep telling the Corinthian church, don't lose heart. 2 Corinthians, don't lose heart, don't lose heart. I tell myself all the time, don't lose heart. Why? Because it's easy to lose heart in life. Service, at a working place, you can lose heart. Don't lose heart. One day, let us not grow weary. So don't be tired, don't lose heart. Right, you can become tired. Oh, wow, this is so tiring. So effectively, if we work 6-7 days a week, okay? I tell you first. No off day one, okay? I tell you first. We work every day. If we have to, we work every day. Like, okay, during the week, we had a funeral, and the ladies have to come up with a bulletin Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, full days. Thursday, right, and Friday we carry on. And then it's weekend. There are days where the week is just 7 days full on. You have to work. We have to serve the Lord. When people are in need, and I tell you, you know, just being this week, just reaching out, you know, just being here with them every day, meeting up with them, you know, talking to them, assuring them, comforting them, ministering to them. You need a lot of grace. But it takes years to find the kind of grace and the relationships and be able to minister in a certain way. Right? And the Lord used all that was done for them, and they were comforted. And hopefully the whole family, they say they are coming tomorrow. Right? So we don't know. It takes years of friendship and to be able to minister, and hopefully fruits will come from it. Can you see how important this sowing and reaping is? Because it affects everything. It affects the way you give. It affects your work. It affects your spiritual life. It affects everything. Basically, you don't put in the effort, nothing's coming out of it. And we have to be responsible. We have to be responsible for our Christian life, for the way we respond to God, the way we work, the way we live our life is basically sowing and reaping. If you don't sow the Spirit, you're going to, no everlasting life is going to come out of you. No life is going to come out of you. But you spend your time sowing to the flesh, whatever you want. Whatever, okay, I'm just eating all the time. Eat. Then nothing's going to come out of it. Right? You go on a holiday, you find that, wow, you mean you eat a lot, you tend to be a bit more, you know, because it's holiday, you tend to not focus as much. I mean, that's what happens to me. So when I go on holiday, I don't just eat and enjoy. I still focus. I can enjoy, but I don't just eat and forget about everything. No, I still have to focus. So to me, this principle is a very important principle of life. Can you see? Okay, do you have any questions you want to... How? Gabby, you can see now the whole thing? Okay, anything that you want to ask? Still? Straightforward. Anything you want to say, Chloe? Or your response? Okay, what is your response to what I'm saying? How would you respond to what I'm saying? Yeah, we reap what we sow. We need power, right? Okay, just want to hear from you. What? How would you respond to this?
But I think I started thinking of it differently after I joined children.
Sure.
Because I realized that it's a ministry that you don't get to see.
Absolutely. No, they don't. They don't remember. I can tell you that.
So it's like no instant results, but it's something that we have to still keep.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like just because it doesn't mean that they don't learn it, like in 1 year, doesn't mean that we stop.
So basically, the, you know, children's ministry to me is basically sowing the seed. You just sow. There's no fruits. You don't see fruits. It's just basically sowing the seed. And just keep sowing. Year after year after year after year. Maybe one or two bright sparks will come along the way, right? Some, you know, they can be like a Samuel like that. You know, what they can, even though they are young, primary 5, primary 6, they can still respond. But generally most people, most of the children are not going to respond beyond a certain level. So for you, it's about sowing. And then when they become teenagers, youth ministry, YPG, JC, that's where the reaping comes. But you have a part, right? You have a part in it. So just keep sowing. Don't lose heart. See, I don't lose heart, right? How long does it take for me to go and relate to you? Forever. Right. It takes forever to relate to all of you, from even Gabby, Carmen, you know, all of you. How long it takes to go and relate to you all? When you all were little children, and then until teenage, and then you all go through the teenagers' years, want to talk, don't want to talk, half the time you all, right? But I still carry on. Why? Because I understand this principle. You sow, and one day you will reap. It may take years. Sorry, why? Wow. Yeah, this when you were in kindergarten, huh? See, that's what I'm doing, sewing. Can you all see or not? Huh? She in kindergarten last time. Ah. See, I'm still here. That's to prove my point. Right. So last time, when we used to have a church kindergarten, I used to tell stories to the children. Right? And you how old? Four? Five? About four or five, right? Yeah. Your brother didn't come. They did also. First few. You know who was the first person to graduate? Grace. Grace Pang. She was the first one. Oh, first graduate, only graduate. Only one. Wow, we were so proud. That was so long ago. But you see, that's what sowing and reaping is all about. It takes years. Right? I don't know whether it's still true. They say that a macadamia nut takes 10 years for it to come out as a fruit. That's why it's so expensive. But I think now it's different already. Now you inject thing and then the fellow will grow very fast. Right, but last time, it's 10 years. 10 years for the macadamia nut to come out. That's why during then it was very expensive. Now it's, it's available commonly. But during a period of time, the earlier years, it was the nut to eat. Right? Because it was expensive. It takes years. Sowing and reaping takes years. Right? So keep going. Don't worry. Just keep going. So we're going to pray now. And we're just going to especially pray for fasting. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray this afternoon. Even as we learn this very important principle of life, sowing and reaping, help us to be responsible. Help us to respond by also learning how to give. Learning how to give generously to people who are in need. We pray, dear Father, that you will also teach us how to be responsible workers, sowing and reaping, working hard, knowing that one day you will bless. And we pray also that you will also teach us that in life, in our spiritual walk, we also need to sow and we will also reap. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us to apply this lesson in these three ways. We ask, Lord, for your mercy and grace upon the church as we go through this time. We also pray for Audrey as she joins us. We pray, dear Lord, that you will also grant her grace and wisdom as she learns along the way. May we bless her ministry in time to come. Bless all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.